We are going to talk about God's attitude towards you, God's attitude towards life and towards believers, sinners, and just people in general. Now, it's very important for you to get hold of a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, and you are in a Muslim country or in a country where you're not, where you cannot get hold of a Bible, man, don't think that you cannot get hold of a Bible. Bibles are everywhere. Go onto the internet and just type in there Bible, and you'll find Bibles that you can download onto your computer. Go to eSword. Just type in eSword in Google search, and you will find eSword. There you can download a Bible in your own language, and you will be able to study the Bible and read the Bible for yourself. So there's no excuse saying, I cannot get hold of a Bible. Man, get hold of a Bible. It's important to have a Bible. It's important to read what God wrote, what God spoke to people, what He said to people, and what people wrote in the name of God to others, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to talk about God's attitude, there's two scriptures that I'm going to use. The first one is in John chapter 4, or 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're just going to explain what God's attitude is towards you. If you don't know what His attitude is towards you, what He thinks about you, what He says about you, you might believe what every Tom, Dick and Harry says about God, who has never seen God, doesn't know anything about God. Let me tell you something. This word explains who God is. So it's important for you to read this word. It's important for you to know what God says about you. And as you read this Bible, you will find that there's life coming to you. You'll find the life that's in you just being unleashed, and you start to live in joy, in peace, and in righteousness. As you read this Bible, you'll find scriptures just jumping out, speaking to you, telling you, you know, just what to do in life. There's guidance in this book. It is just the way it is. And in this book, when you read this Bible, you must always have in mind, I don't read this Bible to see what 10 things I must do to please God, but I read this Bible to see who God is, so that I can know who I am because of who He is that lives in me. Now that sounds very complicated, but it's actually very easy. God lives in you. You are born of God. And because you are born of God, it means God's nature indwells you. And as you discover who God is in the Bible, you will know who you are. So if God is holy, it means I'm holy. If God can do supernatural things, it means I can do it in the name of Jesus. If God prospers, that means I prosper. If God is blessed, it means I am blessed. Because as He is, so are we in this world. And that you can read in 1 John 4 verse 18. Now 1 John 4 verse 8 is as follows. It says, He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Now it says, he that loves not doesn't have intimacy with God, because God is love. And that's a classical example of reading the Bible to see who God is so that you can know who you are. It says that God is love, and it also says that everybody that's got something to do with God will start to live in love, because the love of God is contagious. But the emphasis and the foundation that I want to lay is that God is love. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read there from verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and I have not love or charity. Now you must remember there are different translations of the Bible. And I'm reading from the King James translation. If you are starting to read the Bible now, if you're getting into the Word of God now, I would advise you to go and get the New King James translation and the Message translation, which is so easy to read, which gives you a good analysis of the scripture and just what God is saying there in just contemporary English. Right, it says, and though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and love is kind. Love envies not, and love vaunteth not itself, doesn't parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave unseemly. It seeks not its own. It is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. And love never fails. Now, this is what love is. You know, The Bible says, even if I give all my things to the poor and I have not love, I am nothing. So I want to tell you, the reason why this scripture is written is to tell people what a real conduct or good conduct is in this world. What a love walk is in this world. But we must remember, God is love. So if love does not become angry easily and God is love, it means God does not become angry easily. Now, let's read it in that perspective again from verse 3. It says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not love, it profits me nothing." So what I want to say out of this is, even if you give your body to be burnt, but you do not have love, it means nothing. It's the same with God. Even if He gave His Son, but He doesn't feel love towards you, it's nothing. So God feels love in His heart towards you. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was made on the basis of love. God loves you, God cares for you, and God is, man, He's got good plans for you all the time. And in this time that's coming, that's ahead of you, you're going to find growth spiritually. You're going to find that you discover more of who you are in Jesus Christ. You're going to discover that there's excitement in your heart. You're going to discover that things are going to go well. But you'll also find that there's times when you're going to do things which is just not right. You might find, but maybe you gave your life to Jesus, but your husband never gave his life to Jesus. Or the other way around. Or maybe you got saved, but your parents aren't saved. And maybe your father's drinking, your mother's drinking. It's all types of sin in the house. And that might start to get to you. And then you might shout at your parents, or you might shout at your husband. There might be a fight. And you might feel, well, now I have forsaken God, and God doesn't love me. Now let me tell you, the love of God is greater than you. He gave His Son to you while you were a sinner. And His attitude towards you is based on who He is and not based on what you do. Now God sees value in you. He loves you. And He loves to be around you. And He loves to be in your presence. It's really like that. God loves you. And He gave His life to you, not just by words, not just by feelings, and not just by deeds. I believe it was a combination of all those things. God feels that He feels His love for you. He verbalizes His love for you. And He demonstrates His love for you in what He does. And that was towards you while you were not even believing in Jesus Christ. Now, the moment you got saved doesn't mean God's attitude towards you has changed. He is still the same. He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, let's continue to look at the attributes of love. In verse 4, it says, "Love suffers long and is kind." That means God can suffer long and God is kind. Never think that God will be quickly upset with you. Because if you can do one or two things wrong and you think that God's now upset with you, you will not want to come to God. And the first thing that the enemy is going to tell you is that you are not really saved. But you are saved. You have given your life to Jesus Christ. You have more than given your life. You have received His life. And He lives in you today. And one of the most fundamental things that you must remember is that the salvation you have received is an eternal salvation as long as what you believe on what He has done for you. If you believe that He died for my sins, I've been made the righteousness of God because of what He's done, and you have received that unto yourself, then you are born of God. I think it will be very important, it will be a good thing if you go into the Word well and just get that series on born of God. It is so important, you know, to know what it means to be born of God, what it means to be born out of your own willpower. Now, if you have believed on Jesus, you are born of God, and you must know that God, is one of His attributes and His attitude towards you is that of love, and love suffers long. Don't think that God's going to give up on you the moment you do something wrong. You know, we will do stuff wrong for a very long time. And the moment you realize that my friendship with God is not based on what I do for God, but it's based on how much He loves me and what He's done for me, you will find stability in your friendship with God. So, love suffers long. So many times we think that we must suffer long when people are ill-treat us and do wrong things towards us, but we don't believe that God suffers long. Now let me tell you, He suffers long. It says, love is kind. That means God is kind, for God is love. So the way God will treat you is a way of kindness. So He will come to you and you'll experience, but truly this person is really kind towards me. He speaks in a tone of voice that's kind. He loves me. The way He deals with me. The way He shares His just stuff. The way He speaks to you. It is all kind. Remember, love is kind and God is kind. So God's attitude towards you is He's willing to suffer long. He is willing to be kind to you. Man, if God wasn't long-suffering, you know, it would be very detrimental to Him and to us. Because how will we have a relationship? Because we are human beings, and so many times we do wrong things. Because we've still got a physical human body. Now, I don't want to give you an excuse to say, well, I cannot live the life that God's given me. I do believe that we can live above the ability of this flesh. We can live in the supernatural power of the Almighty God. It indwells us, it lives in us, and we can live by that. But there are times, just to be practical, when we don't walk in the Spirit, when we are not walking in the consciousness of our righteousness, but we start to walk in a consciousness of situations around us, and we find that we start a struggle. And I want to tell you, God suffers long, and God, while you do things wrong, will still be kind to you. You know, people that do things wrong, they need others to be kind to them. Because they are going through a hard time. They need help. It says, love does not envy. You know, so many times people believe that if it goes well with them, then they cannot say it to anybody. Because, you know, God might think, but it is going too well with him now. It's not true. Don't ever think that God's attitude towards you is to keep you poor and to keep you struggling. No, God's attitude towards you is not that of envy. It is not trying to parade himself. He wants to lift you up. So God's attitude towards you is to see how can he help you? How can he lift you up? How can he bless you? How can he give you life? How can he give you prosperity? How can he give you joy? And how can he keep you in that for the rest of your life? That's his attitude towards you. His attitude towards you is not nitpicking and fault finding. That's not who he is. He's not into, well, let me see how I can get this person to be humble, to be humiliated, to go through a hard time. No, that is not God's attitude towards you. That's not what he wants for you. He wants to lift you. He wants to encourage you. So the love of God, it does not envy. It doesn't say, oh, well, you know, yeah. You know, he has just done that wrong and he's done that wrong, so I can't really bless him. No, I don't think that's right. God's not like that. God is happy when it goes well with you. Right. It says, love does not parade itself. So God does not come and he wants to just show off on how big God he is and how you must just be enslaved unto him and that with that type of attitude. If one of your friends or people close to you come and all he does all day long is parade himself and say, well, you better just clap hands for what I've done. You better just put me on a pedestal all the time. Otherwise, I'm unhappy. God's not like that. He doesn't try to parade himself. He wants to parade you. It's truly like that. That's what he wants to do. Now, I don't say God's not awesome. I don't say we cannot worship him. But God's vision is not to get you to worship him. And I'm talking about singing now. I'm not talking about believing in God. You know, God's vision is not to just get more worshipers. But God's vision is that if we worship him, we should worship him in spirit and in truth, meaning in who he truly is. So there are many worshippers that worship God these days, but the way they worship him is not in what he wants them or in the way he wants them to worship him. When we worship God, we must worship him and honor him for who he truly is. And when you can come to God and say, God, I want to worship you. I want to thank you. I want to just lift my hands into the air and say, you are an awesome God. I love you. Thank you for your love for me. And out of that, you just come and you say, I want to thank you, my God, that you're not a God that just parade yourself. Now that's worshiping in truth. That's worshiping not in the consciousness of your own sins, but worshiping in the consciousness of who God really is through Jesus Christ and how He's manifest Himself towards us in this world. So we've seen there that God's attitude is not an attitude of pride and to parade Himself. And God is not puffed up. That's what it says. Love is not puffed up. So God is not puffed up. He's not there sitting high up in heaven thinking He's better than other people. God doesn't think that. The attitude that God has is an attitude of servanthood. His attitude is an attitude of servanthood. Now let's go through this again from the beginning. God's attitude is an attitude to help you and to suffer with you. In other words, to go with you through the things if you go through a hard time and to love you. God's attitude is an attitude of kindness. Okay? God's attitude is not an attitude of envy, but an attitude that is happy when it goes well with people. And then we've got God's attitude is not to parade Himself or to be puffed up. He doesn't have an attitude that's puffed up, but He's got an attitude of humility and an attitude of servanthood. That's God's attitude towards you. And you know what is so wonderful about God? Is He does not change. And that's the way He will be towards you all the time. Now it says, it does not behave itself unseemly. Now what I understand about unseemly is, He will not behave in a way that is funny. He will not today love you and tomorrow test you. He will not today bless you and tomorrow take something away to teach you. Now, love is not like that. Love does not behave unseemly and does not seek her own. So, listen. This relationship that you have with God, God's attitude is not, He's not going to become funny towards you in a month from now. You know, so many times we get a good relationship with somebody and in the back of our minds, we are waiting for this person to turn funny on us. But God does not do that. That's not His attitude towards you. God does not seek His own. He's not trying. He's not in this relationship for Himself. He's in this for you. And you know what? While I minister this to you, I feel such a love and such a compassion in my heart, you know, towards you. And I feel the love of God towards me. And as I sit here, I feel, you know, if I go through a hard time, God, I'm in this relationship with God and God is in this thing and the purpose of this whole thing is for me to be blessed. He's not in this for Himself. He does not seek His own. He's seeking the best for me. And that's His attitude. And the Bible says that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? As you listen to this, you can just press pause right there. And you can just say, oh God, let me just experience Your presence. And you can just simply sit back and just relax and say, oh God, thank You that You are in this relationship for me. I feel so special. I receive Your love and I receive Your kindness. That's the whole thing. That's God's attitude towards you. And when He sees that, He's pleased in His heart. The Bible says faith pleases God, for those that come to Him must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. God wants you to believe that He is a rewarder. He wants to reward you. He wants to bless you. Hallelujah. It says it does not behave unseemly, it doesn't seek her own, is not easily provoked. So God doesn't get upset easily. You know, so many times we think that God will just fly off the handle for anything. It's not like that. He's not easily provoked. Now let me tell you, there are human beings in this world that's not easily provoked. I mean, many things can happen to them before they'll become angry. Now God much more. God is the absolute core of not becoming upset easily. He's not easily provoked. And He thinks no evil. Now remember, God does not get upset with you quickly. Now, I know as a believer, as somebody that is born of God, you're not just going to go and sin because you just want to sin. Because the nature of God indwells you. That's who you are. That is who you are in Jesus Christ. That is the blessing that God has already given unto you. So, I mean, sin is not the issue if you want to sin or not. But if you should sin, if it should happen that you should do something wrong, what is God's attitude towards you? He's not easily provoked. He cannot be easily tempted to be upset with you. It's not easy. He thinks no evil. You know, God doesn't think bad thoughts towards you. He doesn't, you know, when you come to Him, He only thinks good thoughts towards you. And the reason why He only thinks good thoughts towards you is because all your sins in reality has been washed away, because by faith you've had access into the grace of God when you received the life of God. And because you've received the life of God, I mean the life of God is in you. There's no other life, just the life of God. That's what is in you. So when God sees you, He sees God's life. He sees the obedience of Christ. So He doesn't think anything bad about you. You know, so many times we want to have a relationship with God on the basis of which we have a relationship with our earthly parents and our friends. We cannot have a relationship with God that way. He's too good. You know, you might visit a friend and really deep in your heart wonder, what does he really think about me? Does he really think good about me? You know, the other day I watched a movie of, it was a couple of couples, you know, just their life. And then they would visit each other and they'd be friendly and everything. And then they'll drive home in the car and then they'll discuss each other. You know, or they'll discuss the other couples that was in this meeting. And you know, there was very few of them that actually were thinking good of each other. But God's not like that. When He comes to you, He will speak good words towards you. He will not be angry with you easily. It's not that He is trying to just keep a happy face. He's truly happy with you. He loves you. The Bible says, God, love thinks no evil. So God thinks no evil about you. God is not easily upset with you. He doesn't fly off the handle for anything. And He only thinks good thoughts about you. Right, let's go to verse 6. It says, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So, when you fall in iniquity, and when iniquity gets a hold of you, God doesn't rejoice in that. He's not happy when you are going through a hard time. Now, He's not upset with you. But in His heart, He's not happy when you are in iniquity, because He knows what's happening to you. It's like with me. If my son gets hurt, man, I don't care why he's hurt. I'm not happy when he's getting hurt. If my one son makes the other one upset on purpose, and the other one, man, maybe hits him or something happens, and now the smaller one got hurt in the whole thing, you know what? I don't want them to fight. But in my heart, I've got compassion with the one that got hurt, even if it's his fault, because he's in pain. That's the way it is. You know, if somebody, even to me, people are watching this all over the world, but rugby, in South Africa, we've got rugby. Now, you get people playing rugby, and to me, it's actually foolishness, because people just get hurt all the time. Now, for me, it's foolishness. Why do you play that game? You're just getting hurt, and then you want prayer again, and then you want to go to the doctor, and then you struggle when you're old with your knees and your hips and your back and your neck and all those type of things. But you know what? When that player gets hurt on that field, I feel compassion for him. I like motorbikes. You know, when people do the MotoGP, you know, and they fall, I feel compassion for him. Although he's foolish to go at that speed, but if he falls, I've got compassion. I can't rejoice in his pain. And that's what I believe this means. God does not rejoice in iniquity. When iniquity gets a hold of you, when a wrong thought pattern gets a hold of you, and I believe iniquity, the literal meaning for iniquity is when you start to think the thoughts of the law. In other words, when you don't think you are righteous, when you think you must do things to become righteous. It's like Satan. You know, when he was in heaven before he fell, the Bible says iniquity was found in him. Now, why? Because he said, well, I'll become like the Most High. I'll become holy. I'll become. He never thought that he was already what God has made him to be. He said, I'll become by my own efforts. And the moment you don't know that God has given you everything for free, then you are in iniquity. That's called iniquity. Now, when you are in iniquity, when you start to think that, man, I must still work to get God to bless me financially. I'm talking about spiritual work to get God to be pleased with you in order to bless you. When I think all these different things, which is works-orientated, works-righteousness, and please get that series, listen to that series on the fulfillment of the law, which is also in the Word, well, listen to that, it will really bless you. When you get into that, God does not rejoice with that, because He knows you're getting hurt. Okay, he does not rejoice in iniquity, but he rejoices in the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. Jesus said that He is the truth. What is the truth? Truth is no consciousness of sin, but a consciousness of righteousness. Then you are in the truth. So God rejoices when you believe in Jesus, because every blessing can come towards you and everything He intended for you is there for you. But when you are in iniquity and not in the truth, when you're under the law, He does not rejoice. Okay? Not because He's upset with you, but because He sees you going through a hard time. It says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I mean, God bears all things. The love of God bears all things. His attitude towards you is, He is bearable. And He sees you as bearable. He doesn't try to just, well, yeah, let me just hold up with him. No, it's not like that. His attitude towards you is, listen, doesn't matter what you go through, I'll be there for you, I'll help you. He believes all things. Do you know that God believes in you? We've always been teaching you must believe in God. And it's true. No, we should believe in God. But we should also believe that His attitude towards me is that of belief. He believes in me. He trusts me. You know, God would come to me when I would say, I don't think I can do this. Then He would say, I know you can. Because I believe in you. So know that God believes in you. God hopes all things. Hope means the confident expectation of good. God has got a confident expectation of good to come from you every day. Now that expectation is not an expectation of, well, I expect you to do this, and if you don't do this, then I'm very upset and I'm not going to talk to you for 3 days. That's not the expectation. God believes in you so much that He's just expecting good from you. He doesn't expect evil. It's like if I give my car to somebody to drive it, I look at his personality because I believe in him. I expect him that he will care well for that car. Now it's the same with, and he will drive responsible. It's the same with God. You know, He believes so much in you that He only sees good things and He expects good things from you. And if you then do something wrong, He's not upset. He helps you. Hallelujah. It says, it believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now the word endure there, you can easily think for yourself. He can endure anything you're going through. Hallelujah. He'll be there with you. Love never fails. Now, that word fail there means it will never end. Now, God's love, His attitude, and let's go through this, and I'm just going to mention all of this, it's so powerful. It says here, He's got an attitude of long-suffering. He's got an attitude of kindness. His attitude towards you is not that of jealousy or to parade Himself. God's attitude is an attitude of servanthood towards you. God's attitude is that of a stable character. He's not going to just behave Himself in a rudely. He's not going to be rude towards you. His attitude is not just to seek His own. He doesn't have an attitude where He gets angry quickly. God's attitude is an attitude that says, I only think good of people. His attitude is an attitude that when you go through a hard time, He doesn't rejoice in that. He suffers with you. He'll cry with you. He'll be there with you. And He is happy when it goes well with you. He's got an attitude that says, I can carry this person. I can be there for him. He's got an attitude of faith. He believes in you. He's got an attitude of good expectation. He expects the good. Not expect as a demand. He knows. He believes in you. He knows that's what's going to happen. He only sees good in you. He's got an attitude that says, man, I'll endure and I'll stand with this man until the end. And this attitude will never fail. Man, that's God's attitude towards you. And then I want to just go to John chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's read from verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, that God's attitude is an attitude to save people. It's not an attitude of condemnation and damnation. So in your path, in your walk within Christianity, let this teaching be absolute fundamental in your mindset. Go back to this. Download this. Listen to it over and over. Just burn your own CD and just listen to it over and over. Give it to people. And as you share this with people, as you believe this, as you get this into your heart, you will find absolute peace and love coming into you. And you will find stability in your relationship with God.